coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away.
Welcome back, everybody. My name's Maggie. You're listening to this, The Maggie Dawn Show, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I got a special guest co-host with me today, as I do every Thursday, as long as he's available. His name's Tom Paulswitz. He's a two-time congressional candidate, small business owner, and Navy vet. We've got Jess P.S. on the board, and we've got each and every one of you. Right before the break, we were talking about whether or not Democrats should give up a vote or two to keep the government funded or allow the government to shut down. My view on this is that Democrats cannot try to ask for everything from conservatives, and that they should get a laser focus on 100% opposition to more tax cuts for billionaires. Frankly, if they want to get into the nuances of some of the tax policy with a government funding package, hey, make some exceptions for small businesses, right? Like, we can craft tax policy however we want to. We want tax cuts for the middle class and working people. Yep. Yes, we do. Like, we can do all those things. Make a hard line, put a box around the Department of Education. If you put a budget up here that defunds the Department of Education, you're not going to get a single Democratic vote. You're going to have to do it only with Republican votes. And then we can point the finger at you when bad things happen to people whose kids in Republican counties, in MAGA voting counties, have children that need IEPs, right? And that need school lunch programs. So to really narrow the focus and the talking points around things that will touch the vast majority of Americans and then hold the stinking line. I don't like the talk. I mean, yes, you can address the lawlessness and DOGE being out of control, but that is meaningless to a regular person busily going about their lives. What they do care about is whether or not their kids can get a fair shot if they can't afford private school. That's what they
exactly
care about,
you know. Right? But I think the key here, Maggie, is that Democrats can't shut the government down, but they can help not shut it down.
Yeah.
And exactly what you had said, right? There have to be some conditions in place. But here's the thing: like, the Republicans can pass their reconciliation bill that funds the government for the rest of the year before the time we get to a shutdown, if they want to. So the ball is entirely in their court, but it's going to be hard for them to get everybody on board for what they're trying to accomplish. So they're going to have to try to rely on Democrats, and it'll be really interesting to see what lies they will be willing to tell in order to get that vote where they want it to be, and then come right around and turn it around. So as Democrats, I think got to hold fast to say, no, we're not helping unless there are tangible things coming from it.
Tom from Jackson, you've got some thoughts on the shutdown. Go ahead, sir.
I think it'd be a big, big mistake on the Democrats' part to do that, because I think they're playing into the Republicans' hands. And I think that the Republicans would, at this point, would welcome that. And it seems to me that they're intent on destroying the government at this point. For what end? I'm not sure. No good end. And certainly would not be good for common people. I think the Democrats are going to have to wait, I don't know, 2, 3, 4, 6 months for the Republicans' current agenda to really show to common people what's happening. And I think by that point, he will be up in arms and very angry about what's happening, and that they'll be more on the Democrat side versus right now, especially here, 90% Republicans are in favor of what's happening right now. It's just insane.
Tom, I think you make an excellent point. One of the things that I have thought, I continue to believe Democrats are really bad at, is timing. And what I mean by that is, as effects, you can't get ahead of people actually understanding or feeling what's going on. If you are ahead of that, if you're ahead of public sentiment, and I don't mean be ruled by polls. Sometimes you get a lead and you lead, and that's what it's about. But in this instance, there has to be some confluence of people's understanding and perception, the impacts reaching people, and the political opposition, right? Those can't be completely disjointed. If they are completely separated, it will not bode well. And Republicans, who are much better at messaging writ large, will be able to turn it around on Dems and effectively point fingers. This gets to one of the concerns that I continue to have. And Tom, I'm curious as to your thoughts on this. Where is the one strong voice of reason that is focusing Democratic energy? And it's stop arguing about the stuff on the margins. We need to get laser focused on corruption, upon trading away the control of our government to the highest highest bidder, read Elon Musk. Elon Musk is now the effective head of all personnel in the U.S. government by virtue of an executive order issued yesterday by Donald Trump. Why is it okay that the richest man in the world is going to decide who's hired, who's fired, and who gets a raise in federal government? That's stupid. That is not democratic. That doesn't help anybody afford their groceries or housing or buy the car that they want.
But Maggie, this is the new world we're living in right now. But I'm going to go back to you and say that I don't think Republicans are better at messaging. Republicans, their constituents hear only one message.
They have message discipline.
I don't even think it's discipline. They have a message in a vacuum. Which is why no matter what happens coming up with this continuing resolution, the Republicans will blame the Democrats, and Trump's followers will agree that it's because of the Democrats that the government will get shut down. So it doesn't really matter to them, right? So I've come to the conclusion that we're only talking to about 52% of voters, right? I'm saying messaging wise, right? So you have to be very clear on your messaging to say, all right, what does it mean? How does it work? You know, but the payroll of the federal government constitutes about 10% of the overall federal budget, right? So all this stuff that's happening about cutting people, right? Even if they get to 40%, which I think would effectively kill a whole bunch of different programs, that's still only 4% of the government that they've been able to cut, right? When you do the math, you realize that they haven't really cut anything. All they've done is crippled the ability for these departments to be able to do what they've been legally bound to do. That is the key. That's what's happening right now. This is not about fraud. This is not about waste. This is about corruption. And this is about wanting to kill the government, you know, back to, you know, if they can shrink the government far enough so they can drown it in a bathtub, you know, the Republicans finally win. And this is the beginning of that. So this is why this budget, this reconciliation package that the Republicans are working right now is so important, because this is going to codify exactly what's happening.
Folks, that's Tom Paulswitz, my guest co-host today. And every Thursday, we are all fortunate enough for him to join me. Yeah, I vehemently oppose a government shutdown pegged to this March cycle that's coming up because, again, the message has to be very clear that what we're fighting is corruption. We are fighting for the middle class. We are fighting for small businesses. We are fighting for equal access and opportunities for every child, no matter what income strata your parents may be in. And all of the things that Donald Trump and his minions in Doge are doing is actually not about the middle class at all.
Right. And Maggie, I would say that it's important for Democrats to extract the promise that the Trump administration will follow the court's rulings. All right. If it had a minimum, they can get the Republicans to say we will follow the rule of law currently until they're ready to change it. I think that would be enough to extract for Democrats to be able to vote for a continuing resolution.
I don't know what that means in practice, though, Tom, because the words are easy to say. We watched appointee after appointee say, in effect, yes, I'll follow the Constitution, or sort of walk around that. I think the question is, are you Congress? Are you Republicans in Congress? If people in the Trump administration refuse to abide by an active court order that has not been otherwise stayed by an appeals court or the Supreme Court, what are you Republicans in Congress going to do to preserve the power of the legislative branch? Or are you just saying, well, if it's a Democratic president next time around, they'll just issue a bunch of executive orders and enjoy their immunity and start hiring gobs of their political loyalists? I mean, what?
Right. I would say, Maggie, though, that the funds that are frozen have to start flowing again, right? If
yes.
if those funds that are frozen are start to flow again, then as a Democrat, I'd be okay for Democrats to vote for a continuing resolution until we get to a final budget.
We got Fred from Cottage Grove. Go ahead, Fred. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Good afternoon. This is not the new order. What's going on right now has been going on for thousands of years of monarchs and kings. And
yes,
the
yes.
new order is like 200 years old now with your democracy in the United States.
Yes.
And for them to come in and just overturn everything we stood for is ludicrous.
Fred, I couldn't agree with you more. And since yesterday was Abe Lincoln's birthday, let us take a moment to reflect. Lincoln said this: the legitimate object of government is to do for the people what needs to be done, but which they cannot, by individual effort, do at all or do so well for themselves.
Here.
As public roads and highways, public schools, charities, pauperism, orphanages, estates of the deceased, and the machinery of government itself. He's describing what democracy, what its purpose is as a governmental system. And that is to serve the many in the ways that if we all simply went out and acted as Ayn Rand would have us, just in our individual interests, many of us would suffer epic ways. Can we afford to pave our own roads, right? To collect our own garbage, to filter our own water, to grow our own crops? Or would we revert to the medieval feudal system, which every system of government had this idea of the chosen select few? They used to call it the divine right of kings, a made up freaking concept to allow certain people to continue to extract all the value created from the labor of the masses for themselves.
Our country started that way, right? I mean,
yes.
We excluded certain people from voting. We, you know, we only allowed people to vote who had land to start. I mean, there were a whole bunch of different things, right? And we've evolved and evolved and evolved. And what's happening right now is there's a backlash to the evolution of individual freedom.
Yes.
And that's what we're seeing today.
And here also from Lincoln, he hated the idea of a tiny government that would only serve the needs of the very elite few. He warned this,
yes.
quote, "The same old serpent that says you work and I eat, you toil while I enjoy the fruits of it. Turn whatever way you will, whether it come from the mouth of a king, an excuse for enslaving the people of his country, or from the mouth of men of one race as a reason for enslaving the men of another race. It is all the same old serpent."
Yes.
This is what we're talking about. Does government exist to serve the vast majority of us, those who work really hard, or is government to be eliminated, shrunk down to its absolute minimum, regulations for regular people eliminated, so that the oligarchs of our time, the elites, can simply extract all of the value of our labor and hold it for themselves? Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right.
And reap tax breaks that we've never seen in the last 100 years of our country's existence.
Right. And as CJ, if you're listening and you're still out there, go do some research from the period of our country between the mid 1930s to 1981 and look at GDP growth and look at the burgeoning middle class in that time. That was the golden era of our country. And the periods outside of that are the ones where the oligarchs and the wealthy have tried to claw that back.
Yeah,
and
the steel magnates and the steel
right.
trust. The irony, of course, is that CJ's well-to-do position was built on the back of the New Deal. His
yes.
parents did well enough so that he could buy
right.
the house, or they could buy the house to generate the wealth so that his kids could go to college. He stands on the shoulders of the New Deal, of the very ideas
yes.
that he derides when he calls this program.
Always true.
Day.
Yes.
We got to take a little bit of a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about that those that are cruel reveal the weakness of their mind.
One of my favorite subjects.
Yes, I've got Tom Paulswitz with me, Jess P.S. on the board, and each and every one of you joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
I'm coming home and never more to roam.
Baby, tell me you.
Baby, I'm for sure coming home. I'm coming home.
Coming home.
I'm coming home, baby, now.